Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of November 10, 2023. This week we pray for the nations of the world that they would come to know the truth that we all come from one family and that they would be led to know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and to have life in His Son Jesus. Our first reading is from Amos chapter 5. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Our next reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are left alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Our next reading is from Matthew chapter 25. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" And the reading for our discussion is Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him 2 by 2 into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace be to this house," and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You, go and do likewise. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We have been in the time of harvest, and the upcoming holiday, Thanksgiving, is a celebration of God's provision. He provides without our even asking. In the same respect, God is preparing a harvest of humanity. Jesus did die for all humanity. There is not a person that was not included in his sacrificial offering. Yet, for various reasons, a large swath of humanity will not be harvested for God. It is faith in Christ that saves. If I leave the life-saving item on the table, it is not going to save me. If one rejects salvation in Christ, they cannot be saved. Jesus tells his disciples, "I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." The world in which we live is full of those who act viciously and whose actions are vicious. We should not be surprised at this. Jesus says that he sends his followers out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Jesus tells his disciples to travel lightly. He urges his disciples to say, when they reach a house, "Peace be to this house." They are to stay where they are welcomed. When the person of that house provides for them, Jesus says they are to stay there, for the laborer deserves his wages. When they heal the sick, they are supposed to declare, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." For the town that rejects them, they are supposed to wipe off their feet. There will be judgment against towns that reject them. Chorazin and Bethsaida were towns that rejected Jesus in spite of mighty works done in them. Tyre and Sidon would have repented if such works had been done in those places. Capernaum was a similar place of rejection. You will notice that when Jesus commands his followers to interact with people as they're healing them and proclaiming God's kingdom to them, that Jesus doesn't ask them to interact with them in a way that would take advantage of them. And that is a mark of the true nature of the way Christianity is to be. It is not like the cults where people are taken advantage of, where money, power, and other things are involved. Jesus, his mission is a truly altruistic one in which he is seeking to save the lost. And so his followers, as they stay with people in the towns, are not going to take advantage of them, especially if they are true followers of Jesus. And that should be the mark of true followers of Jesus today. Jesus does not want his followers to take advantage of people. And so if you encounter a cult, you will find that they do take advantage of people and that they do manipulate them. And you should definitely steer clear of any group that is manipulative and seeks to take advantage of their position. But Jesus says that the laborer deserves his wages. And so it certainly is appropriate for the disciples to ask to be taken care of in terms of being fed in these houses and being able to have a roof over their heads while they are ministering in the communities. The disciples come back from their journey ecstatic. They said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." He told them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Jesus told them that they had authority to tread on snakes, scorpions, and the power of the enemy, the devil, and demons, but he does not want them to be conceited regarding this authority. Jesus prays in thanksgiving, saying, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise ones of the age and revealed them to children." This goes back to the innocence of children and how God says that those who are like children will enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So, back to Luke 10, Jesus is rejoicing in the Holy Spirit that the things of God are hidden from the powerful and highly educated people of the age, but are revealed to children. The powerful and crooked will never get the priorities in the right places, but the innocent, the children, those who know the Lord will, and because they know him, they will have eternal life. This is God's will. Jesus is declaring that God has given him all authority, and thus he is able to cast out demons and bestow this ability on his disciples. Jesus is the general of the heavenly armies and the one through whom everything was created. The creation must bend to the will of God. In verse 23, Jesus is telling his disciples that this is a very special time. Many of the prophets desired to see this time, but did not see or hear it, yet they are experiencing the coming of God's kingdom in Jesus, these disciples. A lawyer, one who is well-versed in the teachings of God's law, tested Jesus, asking, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus asked the man how he interpreted the law. In our day and age, the law has become extremely complicated as we look at the secular law, and there are many ways of taking even just a simple phrase and interpreting it. You have to understand what all the words mean, see how they are in context, and not only within the text itself, but in historical context. Compare them with how the phrase has been interpreted in the past, etc. A simple phrase can also be misused and misinterpreted. This lawyer answers that the law, God's law, is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. To us, the law in Scripture may be the Ten Commandments, and we might expand that to include God's laws in other parts of Scripture. Here, the young man is narrowing the law down to two commandments, which summarize all the commandments. There are different numberings and understandings of the commandments in various denominations, but in Lutheran teaching, the commandments 1 through 3 are what we call the first table of the law. They are, "You shall have no other gods, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy." This first table of the law deals with the vertical relationship, which refers to our relationship with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. The second table of the law deals with our relationship with our fellow man. This is what we call the horizontal plane. The commandments that fit in the second table are commandments 4 through 10. Honor your father and mother. The fifth, you shall not murder. The sixth, you shall not commit adultery. The seventh, you shall not steal. The eighth, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The ninth, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. The tenth, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are all summed up by the second command the young man states, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says of these things, do this and you will live. Is Jesus commending us to keep the law to save ourselves? No, he is not. If a person actually could keep the law to the degree that God commands and requires, which is perfectly, then he could justify himself. But due to the sinful flesh and all the sins that we commit regularly, the point of the matter is that the task is impossible. The young man actually cannot justify himself. But pressing the issue, the young man wants to know exactly who his neighbor is. Jesus' version of the golden rule is this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is a higher calling that demands more of us than the typical way the golden rule would be stated elsewhere in the secular world, which is, do not do unto others that which you do not want to have done to you. If you would want a person to care for you and treat you well, if you expect that, you should offer them the same. But there is a little problem that is at issue here. When the young man asks who his neighbor is, he is definitely wanting to leave certain segments of humanity out of that category. Again, Jesus is going to show the extent of doing this. If you think that you are loving your neighbor as yourself, it is more than just taking care of your friends and the people who are close in the neighborhood, the people who are good to you. It is taking care of people even who you wouldn't be expected to like, seeing the humanity in them and caring for them. if you don't like a particular people group, it is caring for someone of that people group. In this instance, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Samaria was south of Galilee, on the western part of the areas where Jesus walked. This was a region where many people were left behind when the people of Judah were taken into captivity. They intermixed with those who occupied their lands, and thus were not pure-blooded descendants of Abraham. Samaritans and those who had returned from captivity were at odds with one another, and Samaritans were looked down upon. You would expect your own countrymen to help you, the people of your ethnicity, perhaps, to help you. But in the parable, a man is robbed and beaten and left half dead. A priest and a Levite pass by on the other side. These would have been most in tune with the law and the most upstanding of people in their society. But when no one was watching, they just walked by on the other side of the road. When a Samaritan came along, he would have been least expected to help. Samaritans were despised, but this Samaritan found a fellow human being, bound him up, and attended to his wounds. He even put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn where he paid the innkeeper to take care of him and promised to see to it that the innkeeper would be fully repaid for the care. It was the Samaritan who most fully kept the command of loving his neighbor. The people of this man's own people group had walked by on the other side of the road, neglecting him. It was the one who was least expected to look after him that took care of him. The one who was least expected to act as a neighbor actually acted as his neighbor. What kind of person do you think you would find hardest to care for? What kind of person do you think would have the hardest time caring for you? At the end of this chapter, Jesus visits Mary and Martha. Their brother, you will remember, is Lazarus, but he is not mentioned here. Martha is busy serving, working hard to take care of people. She is consumed with the serving and asks Jesus to ask Mary to help her. Jesus' words are commentary on priorities. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. There are times that we get mixed up priorities where we might put entertainment before the tasks that we really need to do, or where we overly focus on work over making sure that we are worshiping and paying attention to the things of God in our lives. Our relationship with God should be a priority in our lives, but it may take a backseat to many other things. In a similar respect, sometimes we may mix up our priorities with our families. If we don't have a good work-life balance, we may neglect our relationships with our spouse or our children. What makes for a good life? A good relationship with God, a good relationship with our families, and everything else in the proper perspective, everything in its place. In this situation, Mary gets it right. Nothing will be able to replace the time she spends with the Savior, and so she sits at his feet, taking in his teaching. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, teach us your ways and your will. Guide us as we live our lives and teach us to get our priorities straight, keeping you ever before us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray for all the nations of the world that they would come to know the truth, that we all come from one family. We pray that the nations would be led to know you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that your missionaries, that your pastors throughout the world would help to gather in the harvest. We pray that you would guide us all in these times. Help us ever to keep our eyes on you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse for this day comes from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
My soul now praise your Maker. Let all within me bless his name, who makes you full partaker of mercies more than you dare claim. Forget him not whose meekness still bears with all your sin, who heals your every weakness, renews your life within, whose grace and care are endless, and saved you through the suffer friendless, but rights the wrong at last. He offers all his treasure of justice, truth, and righteousness, his love beyond all measure, his yearning your distress, nor treats us as we merit, but sets his anger by the poor and contrite spirit, finds his compassion high and high. Close of day, so far since he has loved us, he puts our sins away. For as a tender father has pity on his children here, God in his arms will gather all who are his in childlike fear. He knows how frail our powers, who but from dust are made. We flourish like the flower, and even so we fade. The wind but through them passes, and all their bloom is o'er. We wither like the grasses, our place knows us no more. His grace remains forever, and children's children yet shall prove that God forsakes them never, who in true fear shall seek his love, in heaven is fixed his dwelling, his rule is over all. O hosts with might excelling, with praise before him fall, praise him forever reigning, all you who hear his word, our life and all sustaining, my soul, oh, praise.